Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Friday edition of the Shotgun Start, late night Friday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is August 7th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing awesome. What a Friday of golf. Who would have expected an MLV surge?
Who would have expected? This podcast would have expected. We've been MLV, you know, apologists, fans for a long time here. We've been trying to tell the story, sing the song of Mike Lorenzo Vera. And here he is. It doesn't surprise me one bit. What does surprise me, you see his caddy? Who his caddy is?
Pepsi.
How is he allowed on the grounds? He shouldn't even, I'm surprised they even let him in the gates. Damn near assaulted people. He's accosting citizens, accosting Spaniards. Last time he was at this event, Pepsi, little Pepsi boy, is allowed in there. He's going to carry the bag for the PGA Championship winner at Harding Park.
It might have endeared Pepsi to MLV is his disdain for Spaniards.
How about Mike Lorenzo Vera? He's, what did he finish? 6 under. So he's 2 shots back. There ended up being a glut of guys at 6 under. For a while there, MLV was pushing Houghton.
Just couldn't get a putt to drop down the stretch. I thought he was gonna tie the lead there.
This is the benefit. Oh, we got Tiger. He's still putting on the green as darkness falls. But benefit of having ESPN in this situation, and it's 10:20 Eastern on a Friday night, and Tom Rinaldi is just fishing, throwing multiple lines, chumming the waters, has Mike Lorenzo Vera in studio trying to get him to tell a story about partying with women, drugs, tax issues. Like, just this is not your everyday golf broadcast, just trying to get Mike Lorenzo Vera. Now, Mike kept it probably pretty PG for his whatever went on when he went into big debt. But I love that they were trying to get him to tell stories.
I mean, the MLV story time with MLV would be an incredible one, I think. You know, he's just such a character, such a colorful character, and loved by players on the Euro Tour.
What's the quote? He's like, I went $400,000 into debt because I made bad decisions and partying.
So he wrote a player blog for the European Tour, and it's on that. So if you search Mike Lorenzo Vera player blog, I almost finished last on the Challenge Tour in 2013, and I had almost 400 euro of debt in France because of bad decisions, partying, and being very generous to everybody around me. I had one good year in 2008 when I won around 350 euro, but after taxes and expenses, there's not much left. And trust me, I spent it really badly. I never looked at my bank balance, never. And one day the card stopped working and I called the bank shouting at them, why isn't it working? And they say, well, because you've got no money. Then I was trying to make cuts and try and bring the cash back in, but it was ridiculous. I messed up my taxes as well. Believe me, I've made all the mistakes.
Unbelievable story. He didn't go into that detail, but I appreciated Rinaldi trying to fish it out of him. And that's part of why we love Mike Lorenzo Vera. He's got a little color. He's got a little character to him. He's not some white bread, you know, robot. So
Generally love the French players like Victor Dubuisson.
Thomas LeVay was great in his time.
Yeah.
Now he does the broadcasting. Dubuisson is mercurial. I'm not sure he and, you know, I don't know that he loves the spotlight maybe in the way some of the others do.
I got some more MLV stuff. We can save it for later in the show. Let's talk about other
stuff.
Was there
no sand in that bunker, by the way?
I don't know. That Damon.
They were alluding to that.
Damon sculled it out of that kind of too.
18. Duvall was asking about it.
How good is Duvall and SVP?
They're good. I think and sometimes McDonough. Duvall. I don't know that Duvall. He's good. He's good at what he does. I don't think like he's at his. He's a lot better calling golf than I think doing the studio show or doing like the live front desk show. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like he's really good getting in and out, popping in and out. Like his net, where he excels is he was number one player in the world. He's really good at telling you what's hard, what's a great shot and why. And he's really good at that. I think he's much better at this than he is at, and that's not to say he's bad at the other one, but he's a lot better, I think, at this. So
he said, SVP asked him something, Duvall, I can't remember exactly what it was, but then SVP goes, well, and you would know because you were the number one player in the world. And like, it was a very good piece of insight towards the end of the telecast. And I thought
but
to
he doesn't
myself,
want to talk about it like Faldo.
Yeah.
Like he does, he's very
but
resigned.
The thing with Faldo is he never gives us anything like that that would infer that he was the best player in the world.
Sure.
He actually gives insight.
When my mother was making fruitcakes, that's the face I would make too. You know, that's what he says. Okay, Haotan Lee is your leader. 8-under, 67, shoots 65. Then like the story of the day becomes him just loitering around the range, apparently. People are just having a field day with it. He did go home, though. He's renting a house close and came back. So that bubble burst.
He did practice for like 3 straight hours, though, at least 4. I mean, what Day said was great. He was on the putting green. I don't know if he had gone home in between. Do you think he went home in between there?
I don't know.
He had to if that's when he went home. But he was there forever. Why? Why was he there?
Is this a bad omen?
I don't know. I don't get it. He played great. He played probably one of the best rounds of his career.
Well, this is just how maybe he operates. And it's foreign to the Day and us of the world, but I don't know. Maybe this is what puts him in a comfort zone. The problem is he's got all day tomorrow, too. Like, what's he going to do all day? If he just was hitting balls he was at Harding Park for 15 hours today. So
it's late tee time sitting around is just the absolute worst.
He plays a powerful game. You know, he just went low. Conditions were supposed to be harder in the morning, but he went low.
How about Haotan getting into the mix? He hasn't been like involved in a golf tournament that I've like really cared about. Since the President's Cup?
Yeah. Yep.
And then the first thing I thought of was all of the shenanigans from the President's Cup.
Ernie telling him to not hit driver. He didn't know the rules. Didn't know, like, playing out of order. All sorts of stuff. Just completely fish out of water.
His caddy, the strength coach or whatever?
Yeah.
His caddy
his trainer
come?
Or something. Physio? Yeah. That was a mess.
he's back in the mix.
He's a young talent who's done a lot of damage on the Euro Tour in the last 4 or 5 years.
Oh, I wanted to talk about this now that you brought it up, doing damage on the Euro Tour. If this was a PGA Tour event, and we did career wins and ran down the career wins list, since they ignore PGA or anything that doesn't happen on the PGA Tour, the leader in a major would have 0 wins. The second, Fleetwood, 0 wins. Day would have wins. Berger, Koepka, Rose would have wins. MLV, 0 wins. But he has 0 wins on the Euro Tour and the PGA Tour.
He has just 0 wins.
He has a lot of Challenge Tour wins. And then you'd have, like, Paul Casey, 2 wins or whatever he's got, 3 wins.
Sure. Brendan Dodd had a big protect the points kind of day. Just steered the ship in, guided it in at even par. Really trying to protect the points, get to the weekend. Make sure he has those extra bucket of 100 extra points or whatever it is.
What are your reactions from the day?
It's a long day. It was a great day. Great day. I expected a little bit more out of the afternoon group. Then it got a little hot at the end with Brooksy's bunker shot on 18 just left me kind of panting. That was so good. It's so good. And then he makes the putt, too, on top of it. like it slowed down a little bit with that marquee trio. They weren't all that great. They were kind of all over the place. Rory's, you know, charging then booting it away. But the Brooks bunker shot really was like, all right, well, this guy, he's going to win the tournament. He's going to win the championship.
What's going on with his body?
His hip? He says it's fine. I don't know. He's rolling around on the ground.
Nike garb, too. He's so eerily similar to Day rolling around on the ground.
Day kind of letting it slip, Freudian sleep, that he'd be on the ground. Yeah. While watching Houghton, he's like, I'd be on the ground, but I bet that amused you quite a bit in his interview.
I was doing something, he's got the interview going, and I heard that, and I immediately perked up. I was like, what? What did he just say?
Brooks is the favorite, right? Still the favorite. He's in the group at 6 under.
I thought Houghton was.
You think so? He just played balls for 7.5 hours. Probably seems like a bad omen. I got Alexa going off in the background.
I'd say Brooks. I kind of love Daniel Berger.
Yeah, I have him in a one and done league. Like I had to, I'm like a Pauly. I was like down the list. I need to make a charge. So I took a Berger. But yeah, you like him more as the favorite?
No. But I mean, Brooks has to be the favorite.
How Berger's swing is? I am no swing coach. I have no eye for this. Like it looks very different. That's all I'll say. It's almost like he's just trying to it up there.
It's not aesthetically pleasing like an Adam Scott swing.
It's unbelievable. You always wonder where the ball, how it's going to get close. But I think he and Brooksy are the two. Rose is somehow Anma. Not another good poor week for Anma. If he's at a major championship and their first major, big major chance, and there's Rose is out of his Anma. So surprised to see him.
He's not hitting the ball great either.
No.
It's kind of like the US Open. He's hitting it a little bit better than he was there. But he's kind of doing it with chipping and putting, which is not usually his MO.
Speaking of putting, MC Zach. 66-76. See ya.
How about Marty? Good night. Marty Keimer.
Oh, well, that was 76 he would have taken, I think. But Zach, hey, you know, I was watching the end as Mike Lorenzo walking off, or maybe it was Chez. Might have been Chez.
Keimer shot 82.
Oh, yeah.
66-82.
Why does the club pro have to do the middle initial and not Zach?
Why don't they both have to do it?
Well, you would think, you know, Zach being from Iowa, he'd be a little magnanimous about it and let the club pro have the name. But there he is. I'm watching the caddy bib. The other one's got to be Zach J. Johnson. Why? I don't understand. Just because he won a
but here's Claire the other thing. Green,
that's not very, you know, magnanimous.
If you saw Zach J. Johnson, you wouldn't know if that was Zach Johnson or a different Zach Johnson. Like, nobody knows Zach Johnson's middle name.
Sure. I guess.
Like if you saw Zach J. Johnson, I would think it was Zach Johnson any other week.
Tough day for Martin Keimer. He had the triple and then just decided to pack it up and get the hell out of Dodge. Bogey, bogey, bogey. But it's your boy, Joo Young Kim, the Husky boy. He missed a cut. Some good players missed a cut, but we have a great leaderboard. I'm excited. How far down the leaderboard would you go?
I'd go down all the way to the bottom. The Big Bill. It's the bottom of my board.
It's Big Bill?
Just because he battled. I really thought I was losing the bet to you with the Spieth Big Bill bet. He was 4 over at one point. He was 3 outside the cut line. I was about to stop tracking Big Bill. And then he had a birdie barrage on the back nine. But realistically, I was thinking about it. Some of my buddies were texting me about bets that I liked, and I said I liked everybody from 3 up.
Okay, because Tiger says somebody can go really low on this course. He says he's still very much in it. You know, if I drive it and hit it like I just did, he didn't putt well, but He goes, can I still win? Yes, absolutely. Golf course, you know, there are going to be some big swings on the weekend, is what he said.
So last year, Brooks led by 7 after 2 rounds over DJ and Spieth. This year, we've got 43 players within 7 shots of the leader.
Okay.
So I would agree that, I mean, that's the thing, is somebody could go out and shoot 63 tomorrow morning and just come out of nowhere and be 2 shots off the lead. I think 10 under leads it tomorrow.
Hey, 10 under. Okay.
What do you think? Do you think that's
there's a lot of guys at 6. You'd have to imagine like another one of them has a 66 there.
You're just discounting that Houtong can't shoot 68?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, I think he's going like 71 or something like that. We got to give a nod to Spieth, too. You're talking about Reavy battling. Spieth, you know, everybody's getting their shots off last night because he's on the range late. He shot a 68. He got on the right side of the cut line. He gets in. I tweeted this, but watching Brooksy, like, just, you know, sweep that ball out of the bunker on 18, like to the top ridge, have it like kind of take a look at the hole and then make the putt. And then you have DJ and Spieth like moments later go in the bunker on the right side and just short side themselves in the rough, like not hopelessly, like nowhere near the green. It was very sort of a snapshot of how these majors have gone. All elite talents at one point or another. But Brooks, this is where he shows up. He gets it done. I know that's extrapolating probably too much, but it was a very stark contrast, just, you know, back-to-back groups.
There just seem to be putts and moments where you're like, you know what? Like yesterday's round when he had like a 10-footer on 1 for bogey.
Yeah.
And you're like, this could be really bad if he makes double here. He makes it. And then today, even like, on hole 9, he had like a 15-foot putt for par. He makes it. Then he goes to 10. He hits it to 20 feet for eagle. He makes another birdie. And you're just, oh, he's rolling. And he never seemingly loses momentum. He always is picking it up.
Yeah. Dovetailing off that, Rory. It's just like he starts throwing darts. You know, the drives find a couple of fairways, makes 3 in a row, and then he just boots one up around the green. You know, ping pong. He put himself in a bad position to start. Then he has to, you know, the rough grabs the club on this approach, and he makes a triple, and that's it. Like, you're not going to win majors with triples.
Never.
On the card, anywhere, ever. At any time, at any round. So, and it felt like he was sort of making a charge. He could have been in that like 3-4 under group, and then he just tumbles. So, what other comments you got?
Yeah,
are you worried about Brooks's health? By the way,
I don't think so. I mean, it's a little concerning.
Yeah,
but yeah. I think he'll be fine. I really like Jason Day out here, as long as he can hit enough fairways. If Jason Day hits enough fairways, he's got such a good chance. His short game and putting is just so good, and it's such a good major championship. I was looking up Jason Day numbers, and he's at that 10-year mark right now of when he kind of started, and it's pretty unbelievable, his major record. He's got 4 runner-ups. He's 1-1. He's finished in the top 10 of majors 40% of the time.
At Augusta, you know, a bunch at Augusta. PGA seems like a place he always does well. He could have won at Baltusrol. Could have knocked off backstopper there. He was like really the only thing person that made that interesting. So, but I think he's just kind of been forgotten about, and he's not, you know, he doesn't get the publicity that it. It's more fun to talk about Spieth. It's more fun to talk about JT, Ricky, all these other players, I guess. I don't know. DJ, even. Day just sort of gets lost in the shuffle.
Him and DJ's major numbers are almost identical, which you'd never believe.
That's interesting.
Days are just a little bit better, actually. He's got more top 5s, more top 10s.
Do you like watching him play? Do you like his style, like the aesthetic and all that?
Right. It's slow. He hits. I mean, he hits lots of great shots, but he doesn't. It's not necessarily. It's not beautiful like when Rory's going.
Yeah.
You know, it's he'll hit it into the rough here, chip. It's almost like a mixture. He's like Spieth and DJ to get combined, but like a lesser DJ and probably around the same par of Spieth around the greens, you know?
Yep. I love there's such an odd mix. It's an odd mix of leaderboard. You got Cameron, don't call me Cam, Champ.
How about
this? Is this the kind of place he could win? Is this a...
He hits the drive. He's picked up already 4.5 shots off the tee.
Shot 64. That's a good number today. Real good number.
He drives. He's driving at 350 and straight. And if he, as long as he's not just dysfunctional in any other aspect, it's going to be a good week. He's hitting wedge into every green.
Tony Finau's kind of mixed it in the mix there. He was, you know, sort of a feature in the late afternoon. His putting is so bad. Did you see a putt on 11?
Horrendous.
Got halfway there.
Do you want to talk about the worst putt of the day?
Yes. Who was it?
Ricky.
Oh, yeah. I've got it in the notes. Yeah. He misses a cut off of that.
End
right?
his streak. End his made cut streak.
Do you think he did it on purpose?
No.
He's just done with this? He's done with like finishing T25 at majors?
Do you think he's sticking around at the house that he rented for the weekend and with his buddies and will be hanging around the 18th green on Sunday?
Just going to go like do some activations at the Golden Gate Bridge, get some, pay some bills doing that kind of stuff. I saw someone tweet like, he just cost himself $20,000 with that stub. I was like, $20,000? That's like the wine at dinner. What is he talking about? Rocket Mortgage, just didn't they just go public? Like, he's raking it in. Like, he just cost himself 20 grand. He doesn't even, you know, he wipes his ass with 20 grand. So, what did you make of that?
It just was preposterous. It's so funny to see like the shot tracker. He hit a putt from 6 inches, 1 inch to 5 inches.
So he seemed perturbed by the first putt, right? He goes and he's like tapping down a mark. And
I don't understand this tapping down marks. It's legal to tap down marks.
So he was futzing around. He seemed discombobulated, out of sorts off of that one. And he like trips over himself and then he stubs the putter and that's it. I mean, you can't, and he's Ricky because he's always on Ricky Tour Live. Everybody's going to see it. Everybody's pouncing on it. And not saying he wouldn't be a man of integrity and admitted. And Joe was Skavron was looking right at him, but like, that's it. That's the difference. Can we talk about the integrity thing with Rory, the overreaction about him? Like, look, Rory seems like a man of great character. But the way we have an aggregation, there was a class aggregation. There's an aggregation of class comments about how he was so classy. It's like Pope Francis is going to canonize Rory for saying, I don't think it was down that far, or I don't think it was fluffed up that high. Now, I get it in the contrast to what we've seen recently from Bryson trying to get, you know, create dangerous situations out of nothing to get a better lie and, you know, talking about the out of bounds line. I get it. I get it that it was a significant departure from recent weeks. But just the rush to shower him with such a class move, amazing move, it's ridiculous.
You know,
he
what?
Got a good lie out of it and he flopped it on the green.
Golf's favorite thing to celebrate is gentlemen.
And I know. Yeah, it's... At the professional level, it's overdone. I don't think that's always a bad thing, by the way, but I think we've kind of made it a cliche and it has no meaning anymore. We lean on that for no reason. But it was ridiculous the way that one article was just about people who tweeted about how classy it was. It's ridiculous. What else you got?
What else do I got? Where, you know, we could talk about what's the worst case scenario here tomorrow?
Worst leaderboard? Is that what you're getting at? But like Cam Tringali DQ'd. I was texting with somebody on site who had a insight into what happened, and he was playing with the assassin, and they just found the assassin got him, threw him in Lake Merced. Signed the wrong scorecard. So the assassin nickname is out there. No. What's the worst case scenario?
Yeah. Tomorrow, one player just separates and is four shots ahead.
Cam Champ airmailing it, just separating himself, crushing, you know, beating the course into submission with another. He shot 64 today, man. Is that out there again for him?
I mean, it's so simple when you hit it 350 and straight. If he's just hitting it, if he's hitting it 350 and straight all weekend, it's hard for him not to win, you know?
Well, what's the worst case scenario for everybody else, but the best case scenario for us? Would it be Todd Lanto?
I think it's MLV.
Yeah.
MLV Todd.
Todd would be, that would be amazing.
Do you think Todd sticks around?
What do you mean? Lingers on the first page of the leaderboard?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I think he had his protect the points, get over the cut line, which he did. And yeah, why wouldn't he not stick around? Because he's slapping it?
You know who would be a good one? Burnt Cheeseburger making a run tomorrow would be nice.
He's T11. He's got the reps. He's played in the final round, final group, Sunday pairing at a PGA before.
Valhalla.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Played in darkness.
It was kind of the marker. He was like a playing marker that day.
I think didn't he make like a triple on the first hole or something?
Something like that. Everybody was with Ricky, Phil, and Roy.
Is just crazy is how open it is, how anybody has a chance, really. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's such a difference from the years before. So anybody you're disappointed in today?
I mean, what's going on with JT? He just wins Memphis. I love that stinger he hit on, was it 16, the drivable par 4? That was really cool. I think sometimes JT gets sort of typecast as like the American bomber golfer. You know, he hits it high on soft courses. But that was a pretty creative shot there. Tiger wasn't going at it. Tiger laid up out to the left. It was a really cool shot. But otherwise, I think it's been disappointing. He seems to not have like distance control going at all. Like he seems short, seems long, and we just watched him win Memphis and now he's struggling. Rory just is, I don't want to pound on him too much. He's the Prince of Pontevedra at this point. He should be in this. He should be in this championship. Who's most disappointing for you?
Jon Rahm. Did you see the camera stuff?
Well, he's
got to
play with what?
You didn't see that. He freaked what out on a stuff? Cameraman.
Oh no.
So he
I heard he broke a microphone or something like that.
That was yesterday, I think.
Okay.
But then today there's a cameraman. Obviously there's nobody out there, so
yeah.
It cameramen are in a tough position because every move they make people notice.
Yep.
So one cameraman was just moved a little bit and he hit a bad chip. Then he missed the putt. And he went up after the putt, and the cameraman, the TV camera, was standing there. And he got, like, right up. He just stuck his big trunk the cameraman's camera view and blocked the camera. It was so reminiscent of Bryson's caddy, Tim Tucker, what
really?
He did. Yeah.
That's a shame.
Obviously, if it was Bryson who did that, everybody on the internet would have gone nuts. But it was a bad look, and he played pretty stinky. I'd like to see more from him, but I think
I blame playing with Sergio on that. Sergio osmosis from Sergio.
It looks
I blame Sergio.
Looks like he might play with Webb tomorrow, so that might be a better pairing. You know, Webb is always with problem children. You know, and this could
he knows how to do that.
Foster a great round for Jon Rahm there. He's a guy that's a perfect example of a guy. He could shoot 64 tomorrow.
63, 64.
Yeah. And he's right back in it.
Shane Lowry snapping clubs over his leg. That amused me. He's playing with Danny Lee. That's a marquee T10. How about this one? 12:30 local, so 3:30. Adam Scott, Colin Morikawa. That's a good tee time.
It's a great tee time.
That's a good group. I hope they show us that. So,
what other? They got JT and Spieth, right?
They were
besties. Yes. The besties are together.
That's at 11:40 Eastern. So they're like the third or fourth group. Oh. Who's the player marker? Well, who's playing with Mackenzie Hughes?
Oh, I thought it was going to be with Chez.
No, Chez is with Charles.
Did you see Charles' reaction on 18?
Yeah, he was fired up. He just got over the cut line. He must have gone up in a tree because someone sent us a picture of him with binoculars and his safari and his straw hat. They're like, Charles, hot Charles on safari because he's looking up in trees with his binoculars. Anybody else? Any other tee times jump off the page to you?
Well, you got Bryson Reed.
No, really?
Yeah.
Ah, the gentleman, distinguished gentleman duo. Holy cow. Well, they better show that one. What'd you make of Bryson today?
Lots of lip house.
Same old?
Lots of lip house early.
Yeah. MLV's playing with Cam Champ. I hope he doesn't, get kind of spooked by the long drives. Get out
MLV,
of his element.
MLV pumps it.
I know, but I mean, you're playing with Cameron Champ. He just starts...
That's not going to be something that flutters him. Cameron Champ might get disturbed by the fact that he's going to look at MLV and realize that he hasn't lived a tenth of the life that MLV's lived.
A full life?
Yeah.
What did you think of the broadcast, ESPN? Any other comments? Saying what we said yesterday still stands, right?
Yeah. It was great. I really wish... one of the things that I liked the most was... how we actually got an announcer that understood what people wanted to hear and how Rinaldi was talking to Jason Day about Hao Tong Li, him practicing. That was one of the most interesting post-round interviews I've gotten in a while because they just, and Jason Day, to his credit, was like, I don't know what he's doing out there. And he opened up and it was like, wow, I like Jason Day more because of that. And I liked the interview because it wasn't just, hey, Jason, you're in second place in a major. What are you doing well?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm playing great golf.
What's your mindset?
Yeah. You've really outperformed your usual performance on tour. Why? It was, hey, Hao Tong Li's on the range. How crazy is that? And Jason Day, I'm going to go, say something to him.
McDonough, it was awesome this morning with Bryson. He had the Bryson window. He goes, when they broke the shaft, I thought he was going to ask for a second opinion. And then McDonough is just amusing himself by talking about, I wonder if what they told him, he couldn't have it. What would happen? How would that? That would have been fun to see. Can you imagine hearing that on a PGA Tour broadcast where they're mocking, Bryson's approach with the rules officials recently? And that's what, these last 2 days have really... sort of dawned on me is getting some professional. There's a big swath of there's an open field there between maybe having just been in it too long or getting in sort of a comfort zone where you're not relatable, to use your term last night, and bringing on country singer Travis Upchurch, who's got 3 million followers and influencer, whatever, Vanessa Sky, to do some mega cast thing, right? Bringing in new voices that are professionals that also kind of, maybe Sean McDonough probably doesn't know as much golf as the guys who are doing the tour week to week. I'm sure he doesn't. But they seem to be having fun, which made it so much more fun for me. It didn't seem rote. It didn't seem like a chore. It didn't seem like work. It seemed like a conversation that all of us have too. We mock Bryson as well. Everybody's joking at Bryson. Everybody's kind of put off by the way he's treated these rules officials. Just talk about it that way. You don't need to talk. You don't need to tap dance around it. And so we get in this dichotomy of everybody's got to be the CBS crew that does it. And this is not a shot at them at all, but people who are in it week to week, or you need to be some live under par, like millennial, a country singer, or somebody that's got a bazillion followers that is going to bring an audience that opens the stream for 17 seconds and closes, and then you count as a viewer. There's a nice middle ground there, and I think we're getting it this week.
Yeah, that exactly. It's so the broadcast is so much more. We're out of like Pleasantville. I feel like week to week is like Pleasantville. There's it's the PGA Tour. Everything's perfect here, and we just are having a real conversation about the tournament this week with the telecast.
Yeah, that's great. But it also just feels more fun too. Like it makes me like. It makes me want to pay attention more. Like I'm trying to hear what this being said because I'm amused by it. I'm entertained by it. And it just makes it feel more fun. And I got to think the PGA is very happy with how this has gone, I would think. Mm-hmm. So any other thoughts before we wrap it up?
Friday night? I got some, do you want some more MLV stuff?
Sure. Sure. So, is Ricky's putt the worst shot you've seen in this year?
I mean, I don't know if it's the worst shot. It seems like he lost his balance or something.
Have you ever done that?
No, I've like accidentally hit the ball. Like I've gone to like step up to the putt and hit it. Like putting a club down. But I've
actually gone back and like just flubbed it coming through.
No, I can't think. I don't think I've ever done that.
Yeah.
I bet he hasn't done that. That's such a shitty way to miss a cut.
Which makes me wonder if he took a dive. He wanted out.
I don't
think
he took a dive. It's just a terrible way to miss a cut.
All right, what's your MLV facts? Your added MLV facts.
All right, so obviously I tweeted out the video of him talking about he was being interviewed by Sky Sports after a round.
Drops an F-bomb.
Yeah, he drops an F-bomb.
I'm French. I can say what I, you know.
And they say, well, you can't use that language. He goes, I'm French. I'm still learning. He struggled getting up to the tour, to European tour. He bounced back and forth. He went to Q school like 5 or 6 times, won a bunch of times on the Challenge Tour. Since like 2014, he's pretty much been a regular up there. He hasn't won, and it's like he got super emotional after his last runner-up at the Sicilian Open. He like broke down in tears in a post-round interview. About the question was kind of like everybody's out here pulling for you and you can't seem to get it done, and and then he was leaning to Dubai, and here's what he said the next day. Last night I was trying to get that amount of money out of my head, but it did not want to, so I accepted it and then went on the internet to see what car I'd buy if I won.
Oh my God.
And it would be a Ferrari F12 TDF.
Oh no. Oh,
which is a €500,000 car. He also said in that interview, I've played with McIlroy a few times in competition and I struggled with him in the beginning because I was trying to overplay. That was the game plan today. Don't look at him. He's going to hit bombs. He's going to hit incredible iron shots, sky high and stuff, and that's not my game.
I love that he's looking up the car in the middle of the night before the final round.
Yeah.
I love that he's also disclosing it open.
And then he was also very outspoken about the Ryder Cup in France, if you remember that.
What do you have to say about that? Do you think he got a spot? Deserved a spot?
Here's what he said. If you say to people in France that you play golf, they will say, no, really, what's your real job? Golf's not a good thing here. People don't care about the Ryder Cup. Honestly, nobody knows there's going to be a Ryder Cup in France. Only the golfers know. That's it. There won't be many French here. There will be many more from England or Spain. Golf is a very private thing for people in France. Private courses for rich families and rich people, and that's it.
I remember that. The Euro Tour loved hearing that as like the lead up to the Ryder Cup. No one cares.
So okay. Here's one last thing. Okay. So in 2013, he's sitting on a couch at home. This is so similar to...
Is this Flashback Friday?
Yeah, I guess this is Flashback Friday.
Did you do a Flashback Friday?
No. I was pulling all my MLV stuff because I knew
gotcha.
That. Once the story became MLV.
Gotcha. Sure.
So in 2013, this is like John Peterson, but like a real version of the John Peterson story, right?
Oh, no. Yeah.
I was sitting on the couch at home. And he was really struggling at this point. This is when he had racked up all the debt.
Yep.
I was sitting on the couch at home and golf was on the TV. I was watching David Horsey in a Euro Tour event and he was going well. Now, this is nothing to do with Dave, but I remember saying out loud, how can this guy be doing so well? I was beating him and so many others before. Then my girlfriend looked at me and said, because he's better than you. I said,
John
no,
Peterson,
he's not.
Really?
And she's like, where are you now? You're on a sofa, nowhere on the challenge tour, and he's playing well in the European. So he's better than you. That's it. This was from a girl that doesn't know anything about golf. And I was like, she's right. So where do you go from there? That was it. I was on the ground, the bottom of the sea. And that was the moment that I decided to push myself to the surface. So I called my brother, Frank, who's a golf coach, and asked him to help me to caddy for me at tour school. So he wasn't even in the Q school final. He was an alternate.
Okay. Oh, that's right.
And then
yeah,
some
he was like
a guy
in the
dropped.
Last guy in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And then he qualified.
How about that?
Now
he's back. There's a guy to root for. San Francisco this weekend.
Yeah.
Mike
here's
Lorenzo
another
Vera.
Good quote. People want me to win more than I do. Every time I lose a tournament, I get stronger after that. So you know what? I'll keep losing.
What? Guy is a loose cannon.
I mean, he's so... I love French golfers because they're so honest.
Yeah.
Yep. He talks in this I'll tweet out this player blog, but he talks about how he's mentally weak. I mean, just...
DL3.
It's amazing. MLV. Sir, right, guy to watch.
What's how taunt shoot tomorrow for you?
Oh.
Is he the leader? 54-hole leader?
No.
Okay. I saw today he's the first leader ever after any major championship round from China. So what's he shoot?
73.
Oh my God. Okay.
What do you think?
Right. Yeah, I said 71. Something like that. Yeah.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow. Buy some coffee, right?
Buy some Bixby coffee. Shotgun Start Blend. We still gotta do our draw for the subscribers. So get on that subscriber list. And we'll be back. Enjoy your Saturday mornings. Enjoy your Friday nights if it's still late and you're on the West Coast. And we'll be back again Saturday night.